The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, next Tuesday, the 30th of April, it's Today FM hosting a National Day of Dancing. One day, one song, one cause to raise much-needed funds for the Irish Cancer Society. There's going to be dance events taking a place right across the country next Tuesday. We're going to have our very own, and if you would like to join our dance event next Tuesday, April 30th, well, we'd love you to join us at the National Stadium in Dublin. We'll have live music from Wild Youth and the Hit Machine Drummers and lots of special guests joining all the Today FM presenters on the morning to be a dancer for cancer. You can bring your friends and family along with you. And best of all, tickets are free. So log on to todayfm.com/dance to get your tickets to our event for next Tuesday. And of course, we would like you to pick The Last Word as your team to dance with when applying for your tickets, because it's going to be at 11:45 a.m. next Tuesday. The whole country will dance to Walk the Moon's Shut Up and Dance, and we want you to join us. Now, of course, in advance of next Tuesday, we intend here on The Last Word spending a bit of time over the next few days talking about cancer stories, just to talk about the reality of cancer, the stories of people who've lived through cancer, who've lost because of cancer, the importance of the research for the Irish Cancer Society, why we're looking to raise this money. And our own Alison Healy is with us today. Alison, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us, because there's a really important reason that you're going to talk to us. You've gone through a dreadful experience of losing your own father to cancer 5 years ago now, was it?
Nearly to the day, yeah. I lost my dad, Ray. He was 54.
That is young. I mean, I look at that and I go, oh, because I'm 52. And yeah. I think, my God, I'd hate to think at 54 that I would be gone.
Yeah, I think I was 28 at the time. And I have three younger brothers and my mom as well. And I think I remember when he got the diagnosis roughly about 2 years previously of bowel cancer, that the immediate reaction was, he's going to be fine. And now I have the hindsight to say that was just denial. There's a denial that kicks in. I don't know if it's for survival, or you just run on empty for a long time when you're supporting this person who's been giving this devastating news. And yeah, I think I heard about his first diagnosis and I just went into denial, and he's going to be totally fine, and he did his chemo.
How far advanced was the cancer at that stage? Because, you know, I suppose everyone gets to know the language of cancer to a extent, and what stage is somebody at, and what chances do they actually have then depending on the stage they're at?
I think it's a really important point for anybody who's listening today who is going through a diagnosis, who has a loved one going through a diagnosis, a child who has a parent who is very sick, that a lot of the time the journey is dictated by the person who's been given the cancer diagnosis. And my dad didn't really want to know an awful lot. He needed to know the bare minimum, and that's what got him through the day. He didn't really want to know the stage or where he was at in it. He just needed to know when his chemo appointment was, how he would get there, how he would get home, what he was looking at physically, you know, the road towards. I suppose he was giving himself the best fighting chance he could. And so as a family, that's what we did too. We didn't really ask specific questions. Is he stage two? Is he stage three? You know, it was just concentrating on getting him better. And that all changed when he was given the all clear after 9 months, told a clean bill of health, go off and live your life. He had put everything on hold. You know, he wouldn't buy new shirts. He wouldn't book a holiday, which is completely normal, I suppose, for somebody with a diagnosis like that. He had lost a lot of weight with the treatment, and he was told, go out and live your best life, go out and, you know, brilliant news, clean bill of health. And it transpires then 4 months later, he was stage four. And it was at that point then that we got very in tune with the language.
How come you got that diagnosis if he'd had the all clear?
I don't know. There's a lot of looking back and saying, was he really all clear? Did they know that he wasn't, and they were giving him the best possible chance at living 3 or 4 months, you know, not knowing. It's funny now speaking to other people about their journeys. A lot of people go through the same. They were, you know, they're told, this is great, you know, go off and live. And they're just being given borrowed time. And I wonder, was there an element of that?
How do you cope in a situation like that? I mean, obviously you're looking to help the person who's had a terminal diagnosis. But you actually have an awful lot of emotional things to go through as well at the same time.
Well, there's a what I read now since looking back, there's like a the person who has the diagnosis is in the middle, and then there's a circle of immediate family around that person. And then the circle around them of extended family and friends lean in and support the inner circle, and so on, so on, so on. So that by the end of this support network, you've got a series of circles leaning in, helping each other to support the person in the middle. I didn't know it then, but that is a brilliant way of looking back at what we all did. I leaned out for support from my friends, my partner, my extended family, and then I used that support and leaned into my dad. And it's like a house of cards, Matt. You're propped up and you're frantic, you're panicked, you're distraught, but you can't give your own emotions the breathing space, because you have to show up at the hospital with a smile, and you're looking at the person, you know, you love most in the whole world, and they're so desperately sick, and they're not the person they used to be. And they're trying their hardest to keep a brave face for you.
And then you have to maintain a brave face for them, even if you're going through hell dealing with all this.
And at the time, you think you're walking hell on earth. You think you're walking hell on earth. And then you look back and they end up being precious memories. And that's what I would say to anybody today who finds it hard to go into the hospital or hard to reach out to somebody and they don't know what to say to them. You know, what do I say to Mary who's been told her mom or sister? You know, don't ask how they are. Just say, I'm thinking of you always. Show up with a hot dinner and just leave it on the doorstep. And that way you're leaning into them, and you're better supporting them to support the person who, you know, it's just, can you imagine what it's like yourself, you know?
I'd imagine a lot of people must have found it difficult to know how to actually help you. Even your close friends mightn't really have known if they'd had no experience of what they needed to do to help you.
Yeah, and there was like I said at the beginning, there was he's fine, he's fine. There was a strength, I'm going to be fine, he's going to be fine. And then towards the end, what I found was I kept myself very distant from everybody, and you build up a wall and you say, you know, don't come near me. I need to get through this as best as I can. And the morning my dad passed away, we came home from the hospital. His name was Ray Healy, and we used to call him our ray of sunshine. And that morning was a beautiful morning. It was May, and the sun was streaming in, and I got home and we didn't know what to do with ourselves. It was very early in the morning, and I found myself taking in a wash. It was just such a twilight experience. And then I lay down beside my mom in my dad's bed, and he wasn't there. And like, I still think, where is he? You know, and I remember that feeling. Where is he? Where is he gone? You know, and I can hear his voice, and I could, you know, smell his pillow. And I couldn't figure out where he was, and I felt myself spiraling out of control. And this is going to be different for everybody, but when I spiraled, I remember thinking, if I don't stop myself right now and get up and do something, I'm going to hit the bottom and I'm not going to be able to get up. And that's what I did. I got up and I kept busy, and I planned his funeral. And then I kept busy with, I'd gone back to college and I kept busy with that. And then I got a job. And what I've realized since is I'm doing everything to make him proud and to live the life that he was robbed of. And there's a lot of that. I think grief, people say it's a selfish emotion. My mom is very vocal about how it's not a selfish. You have to be selfless about your grief, that you're not the one that's gone, you know. And yes, he'll never stand in, you know, my kitchen and eat, you know, have a cup of coffee that I make him and hold, you know, my babies, and he won't be there on my wedding day. And I was robbed of that, but he was robbed of his whole life, Matt. And he was, you know, he was too young, and it's too common. And I think grief is a heartbreak, and only time. And I wouldn't have been able to do this 2 years ago. And I can do it now. And I know in 2 years' time, I'll be able to do more. And I think that if you can just try and help and use the voice that you have and your experiences, there's a recognition when you meet somebody who's been through something similar that you've been through. I have friends who've since lost parents. My best friend, her dad passed away 6 weeks after mine from cancer. And the two of us leaned on each other in a way. By saying nothing, we said everything. You join a club. You join a club of people who've lost people close to them. And I hope that that club is smaller, Matt, next year, that there's less people.
We have a community coming together next Tuesday around the country. How important is it, do you think, to have things like Dare to Care, Be a Dancer for Cancer, for everyone to just bond together next Tuesday?
I think when you think of everybody tuning in at the same time, everybody, and it's becoming a cliche, but I think the horror of this sentence can't be underestimated. Everybody knows somebody who has lost somebody to cancer. Everybody. And it's in every household. And that we can come together next Tuesday as a country and as a community and as friends and pals and loved ones and dance and be joyful and remember them. And I will take 1 minute, even though I'll be running around like a blue-arsed fly next Tuesday. I will take 1 minute and I will close my eyes and I'll open my heart and I'll dance for my dad. And I know he'll be there.
Alison Healy, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.